This is The Best Is Yet to Come, brought to you by Vineyard Community Church.
Welcome to Vineyard Community Church. I am Pastor Kevin, and it is so good to see you today. Whatever campus you're on today, whether you're at our Eastland campus, whether you're on the south side of Lexington or all the way up in Frankfort, I just want to say welcome, welcome home. We're so glad that you're with us here as we launch this brand new series off today called Days and Nights with Jesus. Now, let me tell you how this series came about, because it's really an interesting story. Pastor Pete and I actually went to Gatlinburg. We just wanted to get away and spend some time focusing and hearing God concerning what the teaching themes were, the preaching themes, like for 2018. God, like, what do you want to say to Vineyard Community Church in 2018? And so here we are, it's lunchtime, and we're in Gatlinburg, and we're at this restaurant, and we're eating, obviously, and we're just talking about Jesus. Just talking about Jesus, having a great time, telling stories. I'm telling my story to Pastor Pete about how Jesus Christ, 30 years ago, got a hold of my heart, just radically changed my life, just totally transformed it. And then he's telling me his story of life transformation at the same time about how Jesus had gotten a hold of his heart and his life and radically changed him as well. And then all of a sudden, the climate just in that moment, in that booth, everything just kind of, it just changed. It's like a common moment. I don't know if you've ever had this happen before, but it's like a very common moment became a holy moment for us. In that moment, it was like Jesus just decided to drop into the booth where we were and just sit with us. Because it's like, I'm not saying literally, I'm just saying that's what it felt like. It's like Jesus just came and sat with us in that booth because it's like he had something to tell us. Again, don't forget, the reason why we're in Gatlinburg is not to have a good time. We're there because we're trying to get away. We're trying to focus. We're trying to hear. We're trying to have a distraction-free couple of days so that we can hear, Jesus, what do you want to say to Vineyard Community Church in 2018? What do you want us to preach? What do you want us to teach? What do you want us to say? And in that moment, Pastor Pete and myself and Jesus now sitting in the booth, and all of a sudden, I broke, and I just started to cry, and then Pastor Pete, he started to cry, and just so you know, that didn't look weird at all. Two grown men sitting in a restaurant, weeping, just totally broken. It didn't, but understand something, Jesus was there. The climate just changed in that moment, and if you've never experienced anything like that, I want that for you so badly. But Jesus was there. His presence was real, and his presence was strong, and we were just undone, and we were just absolutely wrecked in that moment. And then it hit me. I said, I got it. I know. It's like I heard it. It was crystal clear. Again, we're trying to find, like, what is the theme? What are you trying to say to our church this year? And then it hit me. I said, I know exactly what it is. I know what the overarching theme is for our church this year. I know what Jesus wants to do in our church this year. And it hit me. And I put it in the form of a question. And I looked at Pastor Pete and I said this. I said, what if? I said, what if this is the year that Vineyard falls in love with Jesus like never before? What if this is the year? What if this is the year that we get our face and our eyes pointed toward Jesus and we see him in a way that we've never seen him before? What if this is the year that we experience Jesus on a level that we've never experienced him before, individually and as a church, and we fall in love with him like never before? And guys, in that moment, I got to tell you something. As your pastor, as one of your pastors, I was just overwhelmed in that moment for you. All of a sudden, I saw faces. Faces started to come in front of me. Faces from all of our campuses. I started to see you guys. And here's what I was overwhelmed by. I was overwhelmed by the fact that I want you. I want you to know the same Jesus that I know. I want you to meet the same Jesus that I met 30 years ago that absolutely transformed my life. Pastor Pete and I, in that moment, we were overwhelmed by the fact that we wanted you to see the same Jesus that we've seen and experience the same Jesus that we've experienced. Because when you do, I promise you, everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Everything in your life gets better. Everything in our church gets better. I tell you, when we fall in love with Jesus like never before, we will finally become that large, growing, healthy, vibrant church that's making a major impact on this region like we talk about so much. But it all begins with us falling in love with Jesus like never before. Now, let me go back, because let me tell you what led to that conversation. What led to that conversation was the fact that how convicted I've been as your pastor now for years. What led to us talking about my life being changed and his life being transformed by the power of Christ is how convicted I've been as your pastor by the lack of life change that I've seen here at the Vineyard over the past 16 years. I'm not saying nobody's life has ever been changed at the Vineyard. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that we haven't seen a whole lot of it. I can tell you this, we haven't seen enough of it. We haven't seen it on the scale that the vision that God has given me, nor the vision that God has for this church. We haven't seen the life change that God wants for us. Now, here's what's happened over the last 16 years. Let me just be real with you. People have come to the Vineyard, and they've connected. People have come to the Vineyard and they found friends. People have come to the Vineyard and they've had an enjoyable experience. Some of them have volunteered. People have come to the Vineyard and they've enjoyed the messages. Some people have actually taken the messages and applied some of the principles to their life. But if I'm honest, we just haven't seen enough life change. People have come to the Vineyard and genuinely fallen in love with this place, fallen in love with this church. But I'm telling you, we just haven't seen enough real, dramatic life change. Let me dig a little deeper. The reality is that for some of you, if you look at your life since you walked through the doors of Vineyard Community Church, just be really honest, there's not much different. In other words, like there's either been very little change in your life, or maybe for some of you, no change at all. And I'm talking to some people now that have been at the Vineyard hanging out for some time. Like, for example, some of you, when you walked through the doors of Vineyard Community Church, you were just living a comfortable life, weren't you? You had your daily routines. You didn't know anything about the fact that Jesus could point things out in your life and then invite you and ask you to surrender those areas to your life. And now, as time has passed, now that you've been coming to Vineyard for some time, you know that Jesus has been pointing out some areas in your life, some areas that need to change, areas in your life where you need to become more like Jesus. And the reality is that some of you don't have enough fear of God in you to actually surrender those areas in your life to him and allow him to change you. You're just saying, no, I don't really want change in that area. Some of you, when you first came to the Vineyard, you were just judging people all the time. And if you're honest, let's just be honest. There's been very little change, if any change at all, in some of your lives, even though you've been coming here for a while. You still are always, nobody ever measures up around you, right? And here's the crazy thing. I've actually heard people say at the Vineyard that have been here for a while, they've actually made excuses and said, you know what? That's just the way it is. My life is just always going to be that way. I'm always going to battle with that. I'm always going to struggle with that. See, that's what I'm trying to point out. There are people in this room today at all of our campuses that you're still struggling with the exact same things you were struggling with when you first walked through the door. There's either been very little change or maybe no change at all. Again, let's keep digging. I mean, some of you, when you walked through the doors of Vineyard Community Church, you definitely were not trusting God with your finances. You definitely were not trusting God. You were not trusting God with the tithe, with giving 10% of your income to God. The Bible calls it first fruits. You know, it comes off the top and it goes to him. You weren't doing that. And yet here we are. All this time has passed. You at the Vineyard, and you've heard us talk about it, preach about it. We've read scriptures about it. And the reality is that some of you, you're still not trusting God with the tithe. You're still clenching to your money. And as a result, you're living paycheck to paycheck, all because you're just choosing not to change and allow the power of Christ to come and change you. You're just not trusting God at all. Some of you, when you first started coming to the Vineyard, you were spending your money on things that just won't last. And here you are, all this time has passed, and you know what you're still doing? You're still wasting your money on things that have no eternal value placed on them whatsoever. Some of you, when you first came to the Vineyard, you were a self-absorbed person. Life was all about you. And yet here, all this time has passed, and you've had very little change in your life, and your relationships in life are not what they could be because you're making life all about you. Some of you, when you first came to the Vineyard, you were an angry person. And yet all this time has passed, and here's what you've learned to do. You've learned to come in and kind of put a smile on your face on Sundays, but you're still having all these outbursts and rage happening, whether you're in the car, at work, at home, and there's been no change. Some of you, when you first came to the Vineyard, you were battling with lust and sexual sin. And the reality is that you're still battling. Maybe you've seen a little progress here and there. Maybe you've had seasons where you do better than other seasons. And some of you have just kind of settled. That's just the way it is. Some of you walked in here with hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and you're still battling with the same thing. And Pastor Pete last week in his message, he said from Scripture, he quoted, "You will know a tree by its fruit." And I got to tell you, I've been frustrated because as your pastor and convicted as your pastor because I'm looking at Jesus and I'm going, Jesus, where's the fruit in some of our people? It's not like I'm judging us. I just want the very best for you. I just believe that your life would be better if Jesus were at the center of your life. And I'm looking and I'm frustrated. I'm going, Jesus, and I feel totally convicted by the Holy Spirit because I'm going, Jesus, where is the fruit that you still change lives? Where is that fruit? You see, guys, the goal at Vineyard Community Church is not that Vineyard's a place for us to come on Sundays. That's not the goal. The goal is for us to come in here and change so that we can become more like Jesus. Amen? That's the goal. I did the math, and here's what I discovered this week, that I can do math. I did the math, and here's what I discovered. This blew my mind. Over the last 16 years, we planted this church. I planted the church 16 years ago, and over the last 16 years, I've done somewhere around 200 different message series. Message series that were insightful, thought-provoking, challenging, inspiring, creative, fun. We've done some fun, awesome series here over the last 16 years. But I got to tell you something. This one we're starting today, Days and Nights with Jesus, this series here, this one's different. This one's absolutely different. And let me tell you why. Because do you know what happens when a person gets a glimpse of Jesus? Do you know? Do you know what happens when a person truly sees Jesus for who he truly, really, really is? Let me show you. Look at this on the screens. When people see Jesus for who he truly is, they tend to want to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. When people see Jesus for who he truly is, they tend to want him. When people see Jesus for who he truly is, they tend to want to surrender their hearts and their lives to him. Jesus, take it all. This is the greatest deal ever. You want to forgive me of my sin? You want to take me from darkness to light, from death to life? I'm in. Take it all, Jesus. That's the potential we have in this series. Fully devoted followers of Jesus. All of our campuses, can you say that with me out loud? Fully devoted followers of Jesus. Let's say it again. Fully devoted followers of Jesus. You see, I don't want anyone to ever misinterpret our mission here at Vineyard. Our mission is to help people far from God find God. And to me, that term find God, that just, it implies radical life change. Because Jesus told a story one day in the New Testament where he said there was a guy that was walking through a field one day and he found a treasure in that field. And the treasure in the story represents Jesus. And he says, so he went home and he sold everything he had. He gave up everything he had to go and buy the field. Not because he wanted the field. He sold everything and he bought that field because he wanted the treasure. So when I hear that term, find God, to me, it implies radical life change. When you find God, everything changes. But here's what we're discovering. We just don't want to imply what we mean anymore. We just want to say what we mean. So you're going to hear us start adding this phrase. You're going to hear us start using this phrase a lot. Fully devoted follower of Jesus. We're going to help people far from God find God. We're laser focused on that. That's what our crosshairs are set on. We're going to help people far from God find God, but we're not going to stop there. We're not going to imply anymore. We're just going to say, and we want to help them become fully devoted followers of Jesus. See, guys, listen, I know what's going on in my heart. I don't know if you can see it. I don't know if you can feel it or not. For those of you that have been around the Vineyard for a while, I don't know if you can see the change that's happening in your pastor's life. But there's something going on in me, and what's going on the inside of me, I want that for you. I've experienced Jesus, and I want you to experience the same Jesus that I've experienced. I've seen other people radically transformed and changed by an encounter with the risen Christ. Churches, this is happening in churches all over America. Listen, Jesus still radically changes people's lives. Jesus is still in the business of radically changing people's lives, just like he changed mine. So Pastor Pete and I were in Gatlinburg, and we're sitting in this booth, and Jesus decides to drop in. Because we're praying, we're going, God, what do you want to say to your church this year? And it hits us. It hits us. What if this is the year? This is the year. This is the year that Vineyard falls in love with Jesus like never before. Because look, I'm sitting there with him and I'm looking at Pastor Pete and I'm going, dude, listen, I want to go on, but I can't go on doing what we've been doing. We've got to go after Jesus like never before. So it's in that moment that Pastor Pete and I decided this. We want to introduce a Jesus to some of you that you've never met before. See, I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced, and I'm not better than you. That's not why I'm saying this. I'm saying this because I want this for you. I'm convinced that I know a Jesus that some of you have never met. And I want you to meet him. I'm cheering you on in this series. 10 weeks. I don't want you to miss a single Sunday. You don't want to miss a single. You want to get in here on the edge of your seat because I'm telling you, you're going to meet a Jesus. Some of you are going to meet a Jesus that you've absolutely never met before. So here's what I want to see happen in this series. I want to see the religious walls that we've allowed to be built in our lives. And these religious walls are actually preventing us from seeing Jesus. And so I want these walls during this series to just start crumbling and eventually just fall down. Today, I'm hoping to crack part of that wall. I want to see the deep, strong foundations that these religious walls that are preventing us from seeing Jesus. So many of us, I want to see our lives start shifting, something shifting deep in us. And so the foundation that's holding up this wall, this religious wall that's preventing you from seeing Jesus, I want that wall to crumble. I want it to fall so that you see Jesus like you've never, ever seen him before. Here's what I want. I want you to shift from just hearing rumors and tales about radical life change to actually experiencing radical life change in your life. That's what I want. And you say, well, hold on, what does that look like? What does radical life change look like? What does it look like when a person is radically changed by the power of Christ? What does it look like when someone's transformed by the power of Christ? I could tell you about me and how my life has been changed, but let me just give you a simple example out of the Bible. Disciples like Peter and John, Jesus invited them to come and follow him. And you know what they did? They abandoned everything that they understood about their lives. Now, I'm not saying they walked away from their family, and God's not asking you to walk away from it. That's not what I'm saying. They just abandoned everything they knew about their current life and said, we're all in. We're not going to let our past, we're not going to let our past life define us. Jesus, we're going to come and follow you. We're going to surrender our heart and our life to you, and we're going to let you define who we are. That's what I want to see happen over the next 10 weeks. So here's what the next 10 weeks is going to be about. Look at this on the screens. It's going to be all Jesus, all the time. All Jesus, all the time. Just so you know, Vineyard Kids, they're teaming up with us at all campuses. And you know what they're talking about for the next 10 weeks? All Jesus, all the time. Our students on Wednesday nights, you know what they're doing? They're talking about all Jesus all the time for the next 10 weeks. So let me introduce you to a Jesus today that you can absolutely trust. Hear this. With all of your days and all of your nights. Now, today, as we kick the series off, we're going to be looking at a story that happened like halfway through Jesus's public ministry. Jesus had 3 years of public ministry. So this is about a year and a half, 2 years into his public ministry. And understand, up until this point, Jesus has done some amazing, incredible healings, miracles, things that just could not be explained away. And all the people that were around him had already drawn their conclusions about who Jesus was. This would have included the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were the religious leaders of the day. They had already concluded what they thought about Jesus. And here's what they thought. He's a threat. He's a threat to our religion. So they had already determined, their conclusion was, we don't want him. We want him dead. We want him gone. But even his disciples, though, even his disciples had drawn their conclusion about Jesus as well. So Jesus, in our story today, he's about to pull his disciples back, pull them away, and he's about to ask them a really, really important question. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever had a question that just kind of put you on the spot? And like the way you answer that question, like really, really matters. Like maybe you're in a job interview and the person interviewing you asks you a really important question. And you know that like the way I answer this like really matters. It determines whether I'm going to get this job or not, right? Or maybe you're in class and the teacher asks you in front of all the classmates, you know, a question. And the way you answer matters. It matters whether you're going to look dumb or not, right? Or maybe it's a proposal. You know, will you marry me? How you answer that question really, really matters. Or the police officer pulls you over and comes over to the window and says, do you know why I pulled you over? You better have a good answer for that one, right? There are questions in life that just demand that we have a solid, accurate, strong answer for, because none of us want to have a question asked like that was asked back in 2007 to Miss South Carolina, and she responded like this. Check this out.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
I'm sure she is a very, very bright young lady, but that was like, oh my gosh, it was hard to watch, wasn't it? Oh, listen. The disciples have been with Jesus for years now. They've been with him for years now. They've seen miracles. They've seen healings. Again, they've seen just things that you just can't explain away. As a matter of fact, when we pick up in our story today, they just saw Jesus like miraculously feed thousands of people with just a loaf of bread and some Long John Silver's fish. You know, just a few pieces of fish. And he miraculously fed thousands of people with that. And then immediately following that, these religious leaders come around Jesus and they start demanding that he show them a sign. Like, I just fed thousands of people with a kid's lunch box. You know, what are you talking about? They're like, we need you to show us a sign to prove that you have authority from heaven. You see, Jesus was a polarizing figure. One moment he's doing these miracles, he's healing people, providing food for thousands of people with just a small lunchbox. And the next moment he's got religious leaders just in his face, polarizing figure. And so what Jesus does is he pulls his disciples back. He's like, come on, let's kind of pull back a minute and let's go someplace else. Let's go someplace else. And so he takes him to this place called Caesarea Philippi. Now, it's important to understand that this is the heart of pagan worship country. There's 14 temples there alone dedicated to the worship of Baal. And that is the atmosphere in which today we're going to see Jesus ask his disciples two really, really important questions. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 reads like this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? That's the first question. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, second question, but who do you say I am? Now let's remember something here. Jesus was a man. He had a beard, okay? Jesus was a man. We get this kind of mixed up sometimes when we start processing Jesus, but let me give you the truth. Here's the truth. Here's the theological truth. When Jesus was on this planet, he was God and human. Fully God, fully human. And as a human being in this moment with these two questions, you know what he's doing? He's putting himself out there on the limb. He's putting his heart out there on the line. The first question is this. Hey, guys, what are people saying about me out there? Like, what are the polls saying? You know what? You know, what's the feedback? You know, what's my approval rating out there? You gotta be a pretty strong, secure person to want to know the answer to that. Now the thing is that if you would have been around in this day, you and I would have been around in this day, understand that Jesus was an amazing communicator. So anybody that would have ever heard Jesus preach or talk, they would have been like, wow, this guy can really communicate. He is articulate. He speaks with power. He speaks with authority. He speaks with accuracy. This guy is legit. But again, he's looking at his disciples and going, hey, what's the word on the street, man? What are people saying about me? And they're like, well, you know, some people say that you're like the reincarnated version of John the Baptist. And other people say you're like the reincarnated version of like Elijah. Elijah was this Old Testament prophet who was intense and who performed like these crazy miracles, right? And then other people say you're like the reincarnated version of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, again, Old Testament prophet known as the weeping prophet who was going around warning people. They think you're Jeremiah. You're just here to warn everybody. Now understand, this list that he's being named in, you're this, that. This was a big compliment. I mean, these were some powerful men of God that he was being compared to. But all of the comparisons were not measuring up to who he really, really was. So watch this. After he gets finished asking and listening to the answer of who do people say that I am? What's the word on the street? He then shifts. He then looks into the eyes of his 12 disciples. 12 sets of eyes. These men that he had personally invited to come and follow him. Walk away from life as you know it and come and follow me. This was his team, y'all. These were his comrades. This was his tribe. This was really his only family for the last 3 years, for three challenging years of his life. This was his family. And he puts his heart out there on the line and he goes, hey, what are people saying about me out there? And they tell him, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Elijah, all this stuff. But Jesus looks at him and says, so it's what you're telling me is that they don't really get it, do they? Those people out there, they don't really understand who I am. They're looking at me like I'm Santa or something, just handing out gifts all the time, you know? They don't understand. They don't know why I'm here and they don't know what I'm doing. That's what they're saying about me. But what about you? He says, who do you say I am? Now that, that's the ultimate question. That's a question that every single one of us are going to have to answer one day. That is a question that is on eternity's final exam. Who do you say I am? Hear me. It's not a trick question. So let's kind of process this. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? Is he a good guy? Is he your homie? Is he like a guy that was a great humanitarian? So you like kind of put him, lump him in with like Mother Teresa or something like that? Is he a solid role model to you? Maybe he's like an influential like religious leader to you. Maybe he's the guy your church did a really cool series about called Days and Nights with Jesus, you know, maybe to you, maybe he's a fraud. Maybe to you, he's a guy that meant well, but then he died. He got killed 2000 years ago. Listen, this is a question you're going to want to answer, and you're going to want to answer it sooner than later. Jesus, understand, get the picture. Jesus has got his heart way out there on the line here. He's got his heart out. He's asking them this question. Have you ever had your heart out there like that? You know, I know I have. I had my heart out on the line when I asked my wife, Robin, to marry me both times. Yeah, that's right. I asked Robin to marry me twice. I mean, the first time I asked her, she said no. And you know what she said? No, she said, you're too young. So, Robin's like 20 years older than me, so, you know. I'm just kidding. She's not 20. She's like 10 years older than me. No, I'm just kidding. She's like 4 years older than me, but she is older than me. And she said that's because she can raise me as her own, and she did that, okay? But the first time I asked her to marry me, she said no. She said, you're too young. I was totally emasculated. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm too young. But I'm also too dumb to stop asking because this is the girl of my dreams, man. And so I hung around. And so the next time I asked her to marry me, my dad was a pastor. And I said, Dad, could you give me 3 minutes of stage time? And at the end of a Sunday morning worship experience, I got on my knee on the stage in front of Robin. And I gave her this. I offered her the same ring I had offered her to her before. And I said, will you marry me? And in that moment, I got my heart out there on the line. I mean, she turned me down once before. What is she going to do now? And she said, yes, yes, yes. You see, Jesus' heart is out there on the line right now, guys, in this story. He's looking at his disciples and he's saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to live and die. I'm going to live and die largely for a group of people that are going to reject me. So I need to know, you're my family. Who do you say I am? And here's how Peter answers that in verse 16. Simon Peter answered, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now, Peter speaks up first. Who do you say I am? Peter speaks up first, and nobody's surprised. Nobody is surprised at all. Because Peter was known for speaking up first, but Peter was also known for sticking his foot in his mouth. But this time it was different. This time it's not like he was, you know, just the loose cannon and speaking before he was thinking. This time it was like he had a word from God because he was speaking with, you know, strength and accuracy and clarity. He says, you, I know who you are. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. You're the Son of the living God. And Peter got it right. He did, and he didn't get it right just because he lucked out, you know, choosing the right multiple choice answer. No, he got it right because supernaturally God revealed this to him. God showed him that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. How long do you think Jesus waited for Peter to get it? How long do you think Jesus had to wait for Peter to finally understand and be able to receive this revelation of who he was so that he could change his life forever? I don't know how long Jesus had to wait for Peter to get it. All I know is that Peter finally got it. He said, I know who you are. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. And Jesus said, listen, Peter, the only way you would know that is if my Father told you. You got a word from God. Have you ever had a word from God? Like, have you ever had God reveal something to you, like drop the word in your heart that you just couldn't shake? You just couldn't get rid of it? You know, that's what happened in Gatlinburg to Pastor Pete and I. We're sitting there just having a common moment, a common conversation. And then all of a sudden, that common moment turned into a holy moment when Jesus showed up with a word. He said, this is the year I want Vineyard to fall in love with me. Like never before. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So here's what I know about leadership. It all starts at the top. It starts with me. I can't expect you to fall in love with Jesus like never before if I'm not falling in love with Jesus like never before. And our staff isn't falling in love with Jesus like never before. If they don't get it, then we're not going to get it as a congregation. And so Pastor Pete and I took the staff to the place where 30 years ago, I saw Jesus in a way I'd never seen him before, and I answered the question of who he was in my life. I took him to Winchester, Kentucky, to the church where 30 years ago, this is that day, 30 years ago, I knelt and I gave my life to Jesus. We got there. We didn't break in. The pastor gave us permission, right? We went there and I walked them through. I walked them through what it felt like, what I heard. Like when I walked into the auditorium doors, I walked them through what I heard, what I felt, what I saw. I went and sat where I sat that night. When I talked about what I heard, what I felt, what I saw. And then I took them up front. I said, this is where I knelt and this is what I heard. And this is what I felt and this is what I saw. And I was weeping. 30 years ago, I was weeping because I recognized who Jesus was for the very first time in my life. And here I was 30 years later, and I was weeping again. I was undone. I was broken. That's where my life was changed. We worshiped that day. We took communion that day. That shifted something in our staff. But let me tell you something. 30 years ago, in that moment, something shifted in me in that moment. That was my defining moment with Jesus. And this was Peter's defining moment with Jesus. I know who you really are. I know who you are. The world might not see it. The crowd may not see it. These disciples may not see it. The religious leaders may not get it. But I know who you are. You were sent by God to forgive us of our sins and to wash us and to cleanse us and to save us and to make us your own. I know exactly who you are. My question for you today is, can you answer so clearly? Can you answer that clearly, that Jesus, you are my Messiah? Oh man, you want to be ready to have that kind of a revelation with Jesus. And I'm rooting for you. I'm cheering for you that during this series, you're going to see Jesus like you've never seen him before. So hear me again. Don't miss one Sunday. Don't do it. Don't do it. Some of you, for the last series, we asked you to come all 4 weeks and you're dead. And some of you, your life was changed. Listen, don't miss 1 week. Don't miss 1 week of this series because I'm cheering for you that you're going to see Jesus like you've never seen him before. Here's how Jesus responded to this revelation about who he was. This is how Jesus responded to Peter. Matthew 16, verse 18. I'm reading from the Message paraphrase. And Jesus says, and now I'm going to tell you who you are. Really are. He says, you are Peter, not just Simon anymore. You are Peter. You're a rock. That's who you are. And this is the rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Listen, Peter, I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are. You better buckle up, son. Brace yourself because I'm going to tell you who you are. Not just who you, and I'm not talking about who your friends say you are, who your family says you are, or who you think you are yourself. You see, understand something. When Jesus first invited Peter to come and follow him, Peter argued with him for all the reasons why I can't follow you. I'm not worthy, right? And here's what Peter told him. He said, I can't follow you. You know why? Because I'm a fisherman and that's all I'll ever be. But it's like in this moment right here, this moment, he's like recalling those words back, and it's almost like a father-son moment. It's almost like he's almost got Peter's face in his hands, and he's going, Peter, you didn't get it then and you don't get it now. You've got a wrong perspective about who you are. You've got wrong information. Have you ever done that with your kids as a parent? You ever gotten their face in your hands and you just so desperately want them to get it? Please, I want you to get this. I want you to understand. Jesus looks at him and says, from now on, you're Peter. You know what that means? You're a rock. You're strong. You're resilient. You're immovable. You're reliable. It's like Jesus had been waiting to tell Peter who he was so that he could just unleash him. It's like he was just waiting to tell Peter, I've been cheering you on. I've been waiting for you to get this. And now that you got it, I just want to breathe life into you. You're not just a fisherman, Peter. You're not. You're not just the guy that always sticks his foot in his mouth and says the wrong thing at the wrong time. And guys, this is exactly what Jesus is saying to you and me today as well. Whatever people have labeled you, whatever people have said about you, Jesus is saying to you today, that's not who you are to me. Jesus is saying, you're not just a professor. You're not just an addict to me. You're not an attorney. You know, you're not a divorcee. You're not a failure. You're not a liar. You're not a loser. You're not a success. You're not gay. You're not a grandmother. You're not a slut to me. That's not who you are to me. I have such a different perspective of who you are. I love what Ephesians 1:11 says in the Message paraphrase. It says, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. And some of you have been trying to figure out who you are apart from Christ. Let me tell you something. You can choose a path. You can choose an identity. You can let other people identify you. But it's impossible to know who you are without knowing who you are in Christ. It's once you see Jesus for who he truly is that you finally discover who you really, really are. See, some of you haven't received Christ in your life. You haven't. Let's just be honest. And the reason you haven't received Christ is because you've never seen Jesus for who he truly is. Oh my gosh. I'm cheering for you in this series. I want this to be your defining moment. I had mine, Peter had his. I want you to have your defining moment. Don't miss a Sunday. Don't miss a Sunday. All 10 weeks. It could be your day. It could be your moment. Some of you have received Christ, but you're not allowing him to tell you who you are. You're still believing these lies about yourself, you know? But Jesus wants you to understand that you're forgiven. You're redeemed. You're his treasure. You are loved. You are empowered. You're somebody because you're in Christ. I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting for you to get it in this series. For you to have your moment with Christ. When you realize, now that I'm in Christ, this is who I am. And this is what I'm living for. I'm rooting for you to get it because it'll change everything. Everything. A few weeks ago, I told you a story about my senior year in high school when I found out at the tail end of my senior year that I was 3/4 of a credit shy from graduating. And in that moment, I was humbled. You know, I was a bad kid, I was. But in that moment, I went into my principal's office and I was like, you got me. And he didn't like me because I was a bad kid, right? But in that moment, he had me. He finally had a moment, a window into my life where he could speak truth. And I said, man, you got me. I've screwed up and I've messed up. Is there anything you can do to help me here? And if you were here a few weeks ago, I told you what he said to me. He looked at me and he said, Kevin Clark, you'll never amount to anything Now get out of my school and don't ever come back. Now what I didn't tell you last week is this, or a few weeks ago when I told you that story. What I didn't tell you was that I allowed that man for a season in my life to set the bar for my identity. And in that moment, what happened for me is that because I allowed him to set the bar for who I was, it drove me farther into a destructive pattern in my life. Because I'm thinking, he's right. He's right, man. I am nobody. I'll never amount to anything. So why not just party? Why not just have a great time, man? Throw caution to the wind. Whatever. Let's go. Come on. Understand something. I could have stayed there. I could still be there today. I could still allow that man and his words over me to set the bar for my identity. But something shifted. Something changed in my life. You say, well, what is it? Oh, let me tell you. It happened 30 years ago in 1987 on a summer night in Winchester, Kentucky. A friend invited me to church, and it was there that I saw Jesus. Jesus like I had never seen him before. And I surrendered my heart and I surrendered my life to him, and he gave me a brand new identity. And that's what Jesus wants to do for you. In this series, I'm cheering you on. Don't miss a weekend. Don't do it. Jesus wants to radically change your life and give you a brand new identity. So here's the work I want you to do this week as we transition into week two of this series. I want you to identify the voices from your past that you've allowed to shape your life. I want you to do that work this week. You know, the words that were spoken over you, foundational words, words that should have never been taken to heart, words that should have never been spoken, but they were spoken over you and you took them to heart and you allowed those words to shape your life. I want you to identify the voices, the words, the moments in your life that you've allowed to set the bar for your identity. And then here's what I want you to do with that. Once you get that down, get you a journal, write those words, those voices down. And then what I want you to do is this. I want you to take that to Jesus. I want you to take those voices, those words, those moments, and I want you to take them to Jesus. I want you to take them to the foot of the cross. And I want you to say, Jesus, here's what I want you to do. Jesus, would you let me see you like I've never seen you before? Because when I see you like I've never seen you before, that's when I'll know who I am in you like I've never known before. That's the work I want you to do this week. Jesus, I pray that we get this. Lord, I'm offering you, here we are on this inaugural weekend of Days and Nights with Jesus, a message series that could legitimately transform our entire church and our lives. And I'm offering you at all of our campuses right now, I'm just offering you this moment. Jesus, I'm inviting you to come. Would you come, Jesus? Would you come and show us who you are? Help us to see you like we've never seen you before. Help us to experience you like we've never experienced you before. Give us a hunger to know you like we've never known you before, Jesus. Would you come? Would this be the year that Vineyard Community Church falls in love with you like never before? I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.